At Atlas Copco, we strive to be the most attractive industrial company in our segments and target markets. Our strong culture of innovation is a result of having great people on board, committed and encouraged to grow and reach their full potential. With the belief that passionate people makes the difference, the People Podcast is one channel where we get to explore and deep dive into topics within people and culture. For those of you who listened to our previous episodes, welcome back. We release new episodes on a quarterly basis, and the program today is our 15th release. So I'm Cecilia Sandberg, head of HR for the Atlas Copco Group. And today I have the privilege to have our CEO for the group, Mats Ramström, joining. At the end of April, Mats is embarking on a new journey of adventures, and I wanted to take the chance to bounce a few things with him before he leaves. Our topic today will be In the Mind of Our CEO, Mats. We will have the opportunity to hear him reflect on his extensive experience, what has he learned during his tenure as a CEO, and how will his future endeavors look like. Please join us. Well, Mats, most welcome.
Thank you, Cecilia.
So today we're going to take a dive into 7 fabulous years for the group under your leadership. So what is the first word that comes to mind if I ask you to summarize your tenure as a CEO?
I think that's an easy question. It should be an easy answer as well. I mean, I've done 9 different jobs over the last 35 years. And what really stands out, I think it's the great people, great products. And I also love the performance culture in the company.
So this is sort of a fabulous journey with fantastic 35 years. Why don't we take a step back then and look into your years as a CEO? And I'm eager to learn what really stands out for you. Could you elaborate a bit on what achievements or milestones you are most proud of during your tenure as a CEO?
I mean, there are a lot of things that I'm proud of, people that worked with, things that we have done, but as the CEO, you have to realize that at the end of the day, you are measured by the financial result of the group. Mm. And those have been fabulous. It's been a fantastic year. So thanks to all the people out there that helped out with that. And I think that's what really, really stands out. And I think I'm even more proud about what we leave behind. Mm. Because that's where we started. We're going to leave something behind that's even better. Mm. And I know that we have such a good position now in many segments, and one of them being clean technologies. And I think that's, so I'm going to keep my shares.
Good.
to support the group. One other thing that I think stands out was last year's celebration on the 150 years. Mm. And I know starting that planning, it was a lot of discussion. How should we celebrate our history? We did celebrate our history, but I think the main focus was on the coming 150 years and all the things that we have planned and to make this company, you know, vital and interesting for employees and customers for another 150 years. And I think that was really, really interesting. Mm.
No, but I think I agree with you. I think we have great opportunities ahead of us as a group as well. So, I think also lately we have also faced some significant challenges. I mean, COVID, just to mention one. Tell us a bit on your thinking in relation to challenges and how to navigate to overcome them.
No, but as they say, a challenge is always an opportunity as well. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time to detect what it is and how to handle things. And for me, the greatest challenge right now is the environmental on our planet. And I think that it started out as a threat. Then we took a lot of educational to understand what is this all about with you and the management team and the division president, make it available for everyone in a digital way as well. So, I mean, so I'm so proud that we have now signed up for the science-based targets and we are working so hard to find solutions. And I think the complete organization should be proud of that. And I think we should really, you know, spread that message, how we can help. Mm. And it's also positive for business, which is really, really good as well. Mm.
One of the passions that we share, you and me, is actually around leadership and the importance of leaders demonstrating behaviors aligned with our company values. When you reflect on your own leadership journey, what key lessons have you learned about leading such a successful global industrial tech company?
No, the word that comes to mind first is trust, to work with people that I trust. And I think in the beginning of my career, I was like, everyone was saying, you have to earn my trust. That's fair. But I think I start in another way this time. It's more like, I have faith in you. Mm. I believe in you. That's why I hired you. That's why I want to work with you. And I think in that way, I think you empower people's, you know, greatness and full potential. So for me, that has been a much better way than waiting for the trust to build. Just, I believe in you. I think it's a good start or something. And I also really proud that we welcome people to our group. Should be an inclusive culture of gender, culture, religion. And everyone should have the opportunity to reach their full potential and have a professional career. And I think that's been something that we've been really pushing. And I think we are a little bit of a counterbalance to what we see is going on in society as well today. And it's difficult to, of course, accomplish anything. I mean, without great people, passion and competence and that drive, I don't think we, doesn't matter if we have good strategy. I think that's what it takes. And I mean, if you're fully invested and committed to something, I think that is, you always get paid. But you don't know the currency. It might be that you get a new job. It might be that you get a new friend, a new experience or new knowledge. But it's a much more interesting life. So if you start with something, go all in, say yes to an opportunity. I just think that is a very interesting route to take.
Okay, we hear you. Great. Well, if we move on then in relation to innovation being one of our values, and we always talk or often talk about the importance of being close to our customers to be able to develop world-class solutions to create that customer value. So how do we manage to nurture, grow and culture of innovation within the organization?
No, but I think the only way to be resilient and sustainable over time is to increase a tangible value for our customers. I mean, you can do a lot of other things, but the end game is always that the customers benefit from what we do, how we interact with them, what products, what services. And I think that's absolutely key. And then we cannot just innovate for us. The same thing that we need to innovate for customers. There's a lot of interesting technologies and new trends, but if it doesn't help our customer, then we cannot, we need to find the path to generating tangible values. And I think that has been, and I, over my time, we have increased the R&D spend in both processes, innovation in processes and in R&D. And we have never spent more money than we do now. And that is because I believe in our own people. And I believe that we should have people that has that power of innovation. So innovation for me at the end of the day is also a people game where you balance, you need to take risk, but it needs to be balanced versus the opportunity. But without risk, there's no success. So I think you need to find that. And same thing there, you need to believe in a people that, okay, we need this innovation. We need to do something together here.
We talked about how challenges can become opportunities and how you have an opportunity to learn and grow from them. And could you share a specific challenge that stands out to you and the personal lessons you gained from navigating through it during your tenure as a CEO?
No, but when I was offered the position, of course, I've never been a CEO at the time.
No.
But I was willing to learn. I was willing to commit to something different. And maybe that's an encouragement that every time you take a step in your career, you don't know everything. But if you're willing to commit, and if you're not willing to commit, why complain about the outcome? So I think it's important then to commit and do your absolutely best. I've always been tough on myself and actually tough on people, you know, that works for me as well, being quite challenging. And I think that we have seen sometimes we talk about mistakes, but the last 2 years, I think that I've learned that mistakes is more of experience. And if you see mistakes, taking risk, you make mistakes as an experience to learn. You don't repeat them, but you learn from them and move forward. Then maybe mistakes aren't that dangerous anymore. And it's not a big thing. As long as you're transparent with it, I don't think you should hide anything. Transparent, learn, move on. Then I think a mistake could be experience instead, which I think is a much better word.
And I really like that comment around mistakes transforms to experiences to learn from. If you reflect back on your time in the role, are there any situations or decisions maybe that in hindsight you wish you had approached differently?
I believe we see patience as a good characteristic, but I start to doubt that. I see that, you know, patience might not be such a good characteristic because we need more speed. Mm. People have more talent, more opportunity to execute if we challenge and ask what resource do you need to make this done. And if we want to stay competitive over time, we need more speed. Mm. That's absolutely clear. And what I've regretted is not when I've acted. It's just that I've acted late. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that I've done several times. So for me, that's something. And I also think that leadership today is not so much about myself or you or any colleagues. It's more about getting the full potential mm. out of others. Mm. And I think that's a learning that we can make. Say, okay, that's my job. That's my real job. Otherwise, you become the bottleneck mm. in an organization.
Mm. Well, let's continue on the path of never stop learning then and link it then to your approach to leadership. What personal values do you rely on when leading through difficult times, Mats?
Yeah, it's a good question because it feels like over the last few years, it's been a crisis mode. It's COVID, it's yeah. been conflict, there's mm. a lot of things. And I think we learned that me and my team, there are 8 people that report to me, and I think everyone is willing and able to lead from the front, to show by example mm. that we don't just expect others to do it, we do it ourselves as well. And one of our key tasks is actually to support the team that needs to take difficult decisions. And I think everyone looks at the leaders, this is what we expect of you as a leader, mm. that you are the one that needs to step up and take those decisions and bring, you know, act with force, act with speed, but also with clarity. Mm. So people feel that, okay, at least we know. It mm. might not always be positive, but we know. And you know what? There is so much uncertainty in the world today, mm. and no one knows the outcome. But if we run different scenarios, the outcome might not be better in the world or in an external world, but we know that we will be okay because mm. we have planned for mm. how we're going to handle that. Mm. And if we're not going to get surprised, we can be quick and we can respond in a very good way. So mm-hmm. to run scenarios, I think it's a talent that we need to, I think we're good at it, but I think we can do more on more levels.
Mm. Probably needed now in a very challenging world.
Absolutely.
For sure, yeah. I know that you have super interesting stuff going on and opportunities ahead of you that will be fulfilling both from a personal as well as a professional point of view. But I also know you will miss us quite a bit.
Mm.
So could you share with us what aspects of the job that you will miss the most?
Yeah, well, it's a true luxury and a privilege to be the CEO, especially for a group that, like Atlas Copco. There's so much respect for what we do and how we do, and everyone believes that there is some magic in there, and they like to know more of that. And it also gives access to a fantastic external network and an internal network that I benefited from a lot. Mm. I think we learn every day from, you know, the previous generation of people and the new generation that come in to and challenge us. And I'm truly grateful for all of them that have helped me to understand new opportunities, new risks, and whatever it might be. And I surely will miss that. And I love to brainstorm with people. We have an opportunity, we have something, and to come together as a team to discuss something with competent and passionate people, I think brings a lot of energy. And so mm. I will miss the people, I will miss those sessions, of course. And you also asked what I will do. And right now I am 2 boards and I have accepted 4 more. So all in all, I will be, to start with at least, on 6 different boards. And I hope we'll find new energy and new interesting
sure.
people to meet up with there.
Absolutely. Great. Well, as announced, Wagner will soon take over as the new CEO for the group. And as you transition out of the role, what advice do you have for Wagner as your successor?
I mean, he's been truly successful himself. I don't think he need much of advice from me. But if he would ask, I will not push this, of course. But I think I learned a lot by being curious. surround myself with great people, and then, as we discussed earlier, also then create customers' value, real values. So I think to take care of the things we do well, but I only communicated to Wagner to say, well, don't be afraid of changing anything. Mm. You need to change things, because there's a next level that is expected now. So you need to change things. I also had one advice from my uncle when I was very young, and he said to me, it's much better to fail with your own ideas than someone else's. So stand up for what you believe in. And I think there is a lot there. Mm. That we believe in something, we go for it, and stand by that a little bit. I think that's important.
Mm. We're getting closer to the end, believe it or not, Mats. But, and here goes my final question then. What message do you want to send to all employees in the group?
Okay, that's not an easy question. But I have had 35 great years in the group. It's been truly rewarding to work with people around the world, different culture, different competences. Mm. And that has been the best for me. So best summarized, I think it's a big thank you. And for everyone, just stay amazing.
Thank you so much, Mats. I've had the pleasure to work with you. We worked together for 15 years. It's been a fabulous journey, a lot of challenges, a lot of opportunities, a lot of learning, a lot of hard work, but I would say most important, so much fun. So thanks for being a great speaking partner, always ready to challenge, but also giving a lot of freedom to act and try new things. And maybe most important, knowing that you would always hold my back. So, Mats, it's been a true pleasure. I wish you all the best for the future, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
And to our listeners, thanks for tuning in to another episode of our People Podcast. Take care and all the best.